Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And this is going to be a very late, but very special still, Valentine's show.
Like anyone cares, like anyone listens.
Well, you know, on Valentine's Day, we were all set to record this, and we had this big nor'easter blow in to where Brian and I live.
I wouldn't call that a nor'easter.
Well, it was enough to make it where you couldn't really go out safely, so we couldn't get together and record the show. So, you know, we're doing it a few days late, but and it's going to get uploaded even later than that.
You don't like it tough.
But, it, you know, still, you just reach back into your very recent memory banks and pretend it's Valentine's Day, and you'll really understand, like, the gist of the show, the parishioners.
Yeah, like, I want to remember it's Valentine's Day.
Why not?
Valentine's Day sucks.
Oh. But you know what? Given the inclement weather and being shut in that day, I got the Dorothy domestic bug. So I,
Which means?
Hit the kitchen, babe.
Ah.
Yeah. I ended
cleaning
up...
or eating?
Cooking and baking.
Ah.
Actually, I didn't really do much cooking, did I? No, I baked. Actually, no, I take that back. During the day I baked, I made chocolate marshmallow pops. And I put red jimmies on them for Valentine's Day, and I packaged them up all beautifully. And then I made chocolate-covered strawberries.
And where are these things?
Well, the chocolate-covered strawberries are still in my fridge. The chocolate marshmallow pops I brought into work to hand out.
Work?
Yeah. And then I made a beautiful heart-shaped yellow cake with pink buttercream frosting, and I even took a heart cookie cutter and I put that in the top of the cake to make a mark so I could pipe the, you know, because I do all the piping and decorating and all that crap. And then I put the red jimmies in the middle of the heart on top of the cake, so it was really I took pictures. I'll upload them to the website. Anyway, so I did all that. Then later on, I had these nice mushroom stuffed raviolis that I made in a nice garlic and oil sauce. And I took the there's this really cool stuff at Trader Joe's. What is it? It's artichoke hearts and pesto, and I dumped that into a bowl and I stirred in all this fresh Parmesan, and then I sliced open this beautiful Calendra's loaf of Italian bread and brushed it with garlic and olive oil, and then put the paste of all the artichoke pot pesto and Parmesan on top of that and baked it and had it with my mushroom raviolis, and I had chocolate strawberries for dessert. So I had a nice Valentine's.
Just to let everybody know, this is a paranormal podcast.
I'm not Rachel Ray, forget it. But anyway, that's so even though, you know, you can be like a loser, you know, be alone on Valentine's Day, there's still things to do, you know.
I got out of bed to go to the bathroom and to walk in the kitchen and get something to eat. That's about all I did on Valentine's Day.
Well, you did something.
Didn't even get dressed.
Ah. I ended up, yeah, I was pretty much in the sweats doing that whole thing.
I didn't even get that far.
I was working from home. In addition to doing all that, mind you, I started on the computer working at 6:30 in the morning for my job. Kept working straight through, and by 4 o'clock I finally logged off. But I had still mass-produced all these
goodies. That's because you don't think.
Huh?
You don't think.
I'm not paid to think.
Hello? Cable's out.
Oh.
You can't work.
Yeah, but they know everybody else is in our area would be logging in.
Don't matter.
What do you mean?
Let them prove that your cable was working. They're not. How do you know? Just maybe your building didn't go out.
Yeah. Too late now. I did all the work. So anyway, let's move along to the meeting announcements. We have March 7th is the next... Well, not the next one coming up. March 7th is for Hazlitt. That's the Central Jersey Division headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. More than likely, I think they have someone covering that meeting, or Sherry's going to do the meeting because Greg had his surgery the beginning of February, so I don't think he's going to be up to running a meeting yet. But anyway, it's at 251 Middle Road at the Hazlitt Library. And that is March 7th. All meetings start at 7 o'clock and end promptly at 8:30. The next one, when this show uploads, will actually be the next night, February 20th. That's the one that I run, the Northwest Division, out in Hackettstown at the Community Center, which is located at 293 Main Street. And then after that, we have Laura Lindemann's Northeast Division on February 22nd. And that takes place in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And as a reminder, on Monday, February 26th at 7 o'clock, I'll be presenting at the Clark Library in Clark, New Jersey. And I've even had people go through my MySpace and say they're actually going to be there on the 26th. So,
wow.
Yeah, people actually pay attention. I'm impressed. And if I haven't mentioned this, I'll mention it again. If I have, I don't know. I have, about the haunting at haunting of Danbury House.
Yes, you have.
The movie premiere is set for Sunday, March 11th at 2 p.m. at Bloomfield College in the Van Fossen Theater, which is located on the corner of Fremont and Franklin Streets in Bloomfield. Little Bloomfield. So, you know, and it's free admission, people. So, you know, if you're sitting there and you're like, God, you know, I don't have much money and I want to go out and do something, this is free on March 11th, right?
You would be correct on that.
Now, did you make up your mind you're going to go to this now, right? I baited you enough with the steak at Stanhope House.
I'm still weighing my emotions.
Jesus. You know, God, I don't know what else I can do. Oh, well. All right, Carl. I guess it's going to be Three's Company. Carl, his wife, and me. All right, so anyway, before I forget, the communication on the listener end in some ways has been sorely lacking. We really have not gotten parishioners sent in for a very long time.
Okay, I'll do it. Losers!
So, you know, people, you're killing me here, because I have to keep reaching and grabbing at straws. Now, this show is okay, because we're doing the whole Valentine's thing and talking about ghostly love stories. Never mind the fact that I sent out a Yahoo Blast asking people to send their haunted Valentine stories, and nobody replied. That's okay. That's okay, because I had a presentation that I did last year at the Phillipsburg Library, so I extrapolated all the data from there in order to make this show, because nobody else helped out. Thank you. So, if you do have any parishioners, could you please send them along to thedeadline@njghs.net? And anything you'd like to add to that, Brian?
No, I think I said it pretty well.
You covered it, yeah. Okay. Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2007 to thedeadline@njghs.net. If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the Deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting. The voting will be from June 1st to 15th, and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay, a room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it, record your MP3 or WAV file, and email it or snail mail it to the Deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007 at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit will be close to 3,000 square feet of space where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X Zone Radio.
That's right, haha, you're dead. It's time for Valentine's Day Parashares here on The Deadline. Now, first, you know, I don't know if you ever saw this really cool picture. It was taken, actually, I'll have to put this up on the website. It was taken on November 16th in 1968. Robert A. Ferguson addressed a spiritualist convention, of all things, in Los Angeles, California. And several Polaroid photographs were taken during his speech. The one that I have a copy of here that I'll put on the website, this one allegedly shows Ferguson's brother, Walter, who died in action in 1944 during World War II, standing next to him. It's pretty cool looking. See? I'll have to put on the site so the rest of you out there can see it.
Yes, this is a podcast.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And then, speaking of photos, there was a photo developed with a small head. This was back in 1926. A lot of people have probably seen this. Very famous of the Irish wolfhound, the Lady Heyer. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. It's H-E-H-I-R. She was having a picture taken of her with her Irish wolfhound, and when the picture was developed, there was the small head of her Cairn Terrier, who was named Cathal, who died 6 weeks earlier. And it's pretty cool. You see, like, this little puppy head right at the butt of the Irish wolfhound. And anyway, so, you know, love is not just about people.
Love,
you know,
is about
Valentine's.
Sniffing another dog's butt.
Canine-wise, yeah, that'll work. But, yeah, so, you know, but people do have, like, so I know they have Valentine's cards from animals. Like, you can give, like, your husband, you know, from the cat, Happy Valentine's Day, or from the dog. And so Valentine's
Day. That's
what
I always wanted.
Valentine's Day does extend to animals as well. Okay, so moving on. Oh, here's a neat place, the Logan Inn. Now, it's one of the oldest still-in-operation inns in the United States. It's in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Now, they have this wedding portrait hanging up of the young bride and bridegroom. And the man in the picture, the groom, has a boutonniere of lavender. And it's said that the bride had carried in her bouquet lavender. So every now and then you're walking by the portrait and you get the scent of lavender, but sometimes it travels throughout the hotel. People have, you know, smelled it in the hallway or, you know, places where you can't account for it, but then all of a sudden there's this scent of lavender. And that's kind of like her signature scent from the portrait. And I have stayed at the Logan Inn in the what's supposed to be their most haunted room, number 6. Okay. And this is where the grandmother of the previous owner, who this was her bedroom up until the time she died. So she's very peculiar and picky about who stays in her room. And if she doesn't like you, she makes you so uncomfortable that you bolt and you have to get out. I saw a story on, I forget what show, but one full-grown businessman was staying there one night, and he was so terrified, he wet the bed. He pulled all the sheets off the bed, threw them in the tub, packed up all his stuff, and just left. And, you know, a few weeks later, had to send a note and just say he was sorry, but he was so scared, he just had to get out of there, and he apologized for the sheets. And, you know, now when I stayed there, I had what I call a reverse EVP happen, where my husband and I at the time, both of us heard an explosion. Okay, we had all our equipment going, and the next day at breakfast we were playing back the audio tape, and you could hear him say, "What the hell was that?" And you could hear me say, "You heard that too," but you never heard what we both heard. Independent of each other, we both heard this explosion. And when I told the concierge about it, I said, you know, not for nothing, I've never heard a cannon go off, but it sounded like a cannon. And she said, well, there's a cannon right outside your bedroom window, but it hasn't been active since the Revolutionary War. And when it was in action, it was down on the Delaware River. It was right on the water bank, because that's where they were firing from. But when they brought it back up, and now it sits in that little square by the Logan Inn, you know, like kind of like a... It's kind of like one of those triangular divider things to okay. separate the street, and and it sits there as a monument. She said it hasn't been active for 300 years. So, anyway, the Logan Inn, pretty cool place to visit. It's got you've got the canals in New Hope. Jessica Savage over by Odette's, where she drove her car and right into the canal and died. So that's a pretty haunted spot. And there's the one little girl ghost that haunts the area of the canal in back of the Logan Inn. And sometimes, you know, people spot her. So New Hope's got a real funky energy to it anyway. I don't know if you've ever... Have you been there, right?
No.
You've never been to New Hope?
Not lately. A long, long, long time.
Yeah, I have to get you down there because there's just so... It's just got a real funky energy.
Hey, now, I'm not that easy.
All right. let's see. Where was I? Oh, so we're moving on. So anyway, that's New Hope and the Logan Inn. You got to check it out. Now, the Bernardsville Library. The original structure is still there in Bernardsville. And right now it houses an interior design place. The Bernardsville town has built a whole new library further back on the property. But let me tell you. We've been there in the original structure, investigated, gotten some neat orb shots, nothing great to write home about, but the story of the Bernardsville Library surrounding Phyllis Parker. Now, Phyllis worked in when we're going back to the Revolutionary War period, and the Bernardsville Library at that time was a tavern, and Captain Parker owned the tavern, and his daughter Phyllis worked in there. And this dashing young man, Dr. Byram, used to come in every so often, and Phyllis fell in love with him. And they got engaged, so they were going to be married. But it turns out that Dr. Byram was a spy for the British, and they captured him, caught him red-handed. The papers that he was trying to deliver to the British were in his satchel, so they, you know, they meaning the revolutionaries, the Americans, brought him and hanged him for treason. And afterwards, Captain Parker said, you know what, why don't you bring the body back to my house, because, you know, he was engaged to my daughter, I should at least give him a decent burial, I feel bad about that. So they said, fine. So they had the body in a pine box. They marched up the front steps and, you know, opened the door through the parlor into the back and the kitchen, dumped it on the table and about-faced and walked out. And Phyllis was upstairs and she heard this and she instinctively knew something wasn't right. So she came running down the staircase, ran through the parlor to the back room, kitchen, And she started, well, some people say she used an axe, some people say it was a big knife, but either way, she grabbed something sharp and started hacking away at the box and got enough wood off to see her dead fiancé's face, and she let out a horrific scream. And it said after that she was kind of not right, so to this day you really don't find any records of Phyllis Parker, and some historians argue that, you know, Captain Parker would have been 15 years old when he fathered her, which 300 years ago with a life expectancy of 35, at 15 you were pretty much middle-aged, so it could stand true. But the only real record that you ever get of her to this day is her library card. They still keep a library card on file at the Bernardsville Library for Phyllis Parker. You can find Captain Parker's tombstone, but I think that's out in Morristown somewhere, or at Bernardsville there's a cemetery where you can find that. But what's interesting is you fast forward to like the 1800s when it's a private residence, and that whole scenario played as an audio file, an audio, you know, record of it. It was residual haunting, and the mother, it was a nice sunny afternoon. She was in her parlor doing her needlepoint. Her toddler was playing at her feet with his blocks, and she heard footsteps coming up the front porch, but then she heard the door burst open. So she grabbed her son, and she ran behind the couch and hid. And the whole thing played out. She never saw anybody, but heard the thud, heard them marching back out, the door slam, heard somebody from upstairs run down the stairs into the kitchen, hack away, let out the scream, it was over, and she stayed with a friend for a couple days till her husband, who was a banker in Morristown, came home from his business trip. And they searched the house with a Morristown police officer, found no problems, and it would replay itself periodically. And then in the 70s, when it was a library, one of the teenagers saw Phyllis sitting on the table in the children's room and thought she locked somebody in there. And the librarian's like, nah, it's just Phyllis. So, pretty cool, huh?
Nice. Very nice.
So, let's see. What else did I want to tell you about? But that's sad, though. That is sad. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You've just fallen for the wrong guy.
Wah.
Okay. And moving on. Here's another story. Now, this one, Melanie and Samuel Lanier, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's L-A-N-I-E-R. This takes place at Fort Warren in Boston, Massachusetts, where apparently this woman in this dark garb is still haunting to this day. Now, the story is a good old Samuel. He was fighting in the Civil War for the South, and good old Melanie found out her husband had been taken captive and was being held at Fort Warren, and she decided that she was going to get him released. So she put together this entire thing. She got, I forget the name of a gun, but she got this very old, like, pistol, which wasn't in too good a shape, but she got that, and she got a uniform of the Union side of the soldiers and the patrolmen at the Fort Warren. And basically, she disguised herself, and she muddled her way in, okay? She even made it to her husband's cell, explained to him after digging and everything how she was going to get, you know, this tunnel and get him out of there, not to worry. But word got to the head, I don't know what you want to call him, warden, chief, whoever was in charge of the place, that something was not quite right with this particular cell and the cellmate. So when he came down to inspect, boom, there was Melanie. He caught her red-handed. And she decided she was going to shoot the guy and just kill them and try and still get her husband out of there. And unfortunately, the gun was so old and crappy and rusty that it didn't. She went to pull a trigger, and it somehow broke and misfired, and the bullet went out where it wasn't supposed to come out of. And in doing so, it went right through her husband's skull and killed him. So now she's killed her husband, she's taken into custody, tried, and she's set for a hanging. And she's still in men's clothing, and she's a good old Southern girl. And she's like, I cannot be hanged and buried in this. I need to be in a dress, you know. And they had, a couple weeks before, they had had a little play done on site at the fort, and one of the characters was a monk. So that's the best they could muster up, was they took the monk's costume, and they said, well, here, this will have to suffice as a dress, you know. So that's what Melanie wore when she was hanged. And a few weeks later, I think his name was Richard Cassidy, he was on patrol, and he saw this this woman, you know, in this black garb and everything. And then she vanished, and when he reported it, they threw him into solitary for a couple weeks, thinking he was nuts, you know, but it really was the ghost of Melanie that he had encountered.
Learn to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I would. I wouldn't have. Well, you know. So, now here comes a very sad story. Talking about never falling in love again. This literally happened. This poor girl, Priscilla Phipps, she died waiting for her love to return from the Civil War. Now, her father, Joshua Phipps, nasty, nasty guy. He was very mean on his plantation, very mean and overbearing to his servants and the slaves and what have you. He knew his daughter had fallen in love with this farmhand, and I guess he felt, well, that's just too beneath him and her. And what he did is he arranged for the farmhand boy to be shipped off to the Civil War, knowing odds are he wouldn't come back, which is what happened. And Priscilla, you know, promised her guy she would wait for him, and she sat in her rocking chair in her room, and she would rock back and forth day in and day out, staring out the window, waiting for him to come back. And he wasn't coming back. And she basically grieved herself to death. And to this day, this takes place actually in the Rotherwood Mansion, and it's located in Kingsport, Tennessee. And now it's more like a museum. People can tour it and everything. And a lot of the tour guides have said that you'll either see the rocking chair moving and nobody's in it, or you can be downstairs and you hear it creaking on the floorboards. It's moving back and forth. Now, what's interesting, they go on to tell the story. Remember I was telling you how nasty her father was, Joshua? Well, when Joshua finally did die, and they had him, this is back in the days before hearses like what I had. This was a horse-drawn hearse. They had him in the horse-drawn hearse. They were taking the body.
So only had 2 horsepower?
I guess, yeah. Oh, don't get me started on cars, because, you know. But anyway, I was looking on one, not to digress, but briefly.
Too late.
I know. I was on eBay. Whenever I get bored, I go on eBay and I searched for what hearses are for sale. And I saw a beautiful one right in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And it ended up going for $3,400. I'm like, I so could have bagged that one. And it was silver. I still haven't nailed a black hearse. I have no idea why. But this one was silver, but I would have taken it. It was a Caddy. And it was in gorgeous shape. It had, I think, like 40 or 50,000 miles on it. But, you know, with an 8-cylinder Caddy, that's pretty young for the engine. I don't worry about that. The worst thing you got to worry about with the hearse is, because they're so long, is your brake cable and your trans, you know. But beyond that, they're really good cars. Anyway, so this was a gorgeous deal, and I'm sorry I missed out on it, but someday I'm getting my own hearse again.
Again.
Yeah. No husband, just a hearse.
It's kind of funny. You're the only person outside of the funeral industry who I know who has not had one, but 2.
Yeah. I know. Well, I'll get there. Anyway, so when Joshua's body was being hauled into the cemetery, the horses got so far into the cemetery and stopped. And it was as if the wheels on the hearse carriage froze, and they could not get it to progress. They were so frustrated that they actually brought in a new team of horses, thinking, well, maybe these two were either suddenly stupid or tired, whatever. So they brought in a whole other set of horses. The damn thing still wouldn't move. And they said all of a sudden it just went so silent. It was like the earth just stood still. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear the crickets. You couldn't hear air. They said it was all of a sudden just this chilling silence. And then it was like an earthquake. They said the ground began to shake, and all of a sudden it was like everything was shaking. And they said from the coffin, and okay, erupted this black hound from hell, just kind of shot out of the coffin and took off, okay, running. And with that, sound came back. The carriage was able to move. They figured, whatever, just put the body in the grave, covered up. And a few weeks went by, and people in town were still talking about it, saying, you know, that's how evil Joshua was, that the earth could not receive his body. That's how damn evil he was. He turned into a hound from hell. And finally, the curiosity got the better of them, so they went and they dug up Joshua's coffin, and it was empty. And to this day, every so often, you either see or hear this. You either see a black dog on the Rotherwood Mansion property, or you'll hear it howling, but not see it. Oh, no. So, good stuff, huh?
Very good.
Well, happy Haunted Valentine's Day. A bit late, but happy anyway. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, I'm Mark Nesbitt, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for haunted trivia. Now, last week, you were asked, what state does the ship of death reside? I don't think we got a winner for this one.
What a shocker there.
Wait, let me think. Actually, I do have to ship out a t-shirt. I think it was for this question. I think Deborah got this one right. It is Platte River in Wyoming. Okay, that was the answer where, excuse me, the ship of death resides. Now, in this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of easy peasy. And since we have some... I'm going to start this again. Since we have spoken of some long-lost ghostly loves, what is the name of the female ghost seen looking out the upstairs window towards the Raritan Bay at the spy house in Port Monmouth, New Jersey, who is still waiting for her husband to return? Now, this is so easy. Well, for those of you in New Jersey, it should be like a no-brainer, you know.
www.google.
Anyway, so if you're the first person to name the female who is waiting for her husband to return, staring out the upstairs bedroom window at the spy house, and you email that correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, you will win the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. Now, you know, don't worry, people. At some point, I'm going to have more t-shirts made up because of Ghost World Conference. So, we'll actually have some adult t-shirts to give away as prizes yet again.
Wow.
But for now, you're just outfitting all your kids.
Or you gotta slim down.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the one junior t-shirt, junior ghost hunter t-shirt in the medium youth size can fit a small framed female adult.
I don't know any.
I mean, you know, we're talking a very petite person, but yeah, it would work. Anyway, so, speaking of Ghost World Conference.
Yes.
I told you about how Mark and Mark from Weird US are going to be there.
Yes.
Okay.
You did mention that.
Jane Doherty. And hi, Jane, if you're listening, which I doubt it because she's got a hell of a lot better things to do than sit around listening to this. But, what else? Oh, Charlie Adams is going to be there again this year.
Of course.
And who else? Well, I like Charlie. I get a kick out of him. His presentations are good, aren't they? I mean, no slides, no bells and whistles. He just gets up and...
And the way he got everyone last year.
Yeah. At our conference, yep. The New Jersey Ghost Conference. That was really cool. In fact, Jeff Belanger liked it so much, he said, I'm going to steal it and use it in my presentations. I think you didn't see Jeff's one that he did at Vince's conference last July.
No, I didn't see.
Oh, it was pretty fun. We were all out there because at the closing of Vince's, I guess that was the Eastern Regional Paranormal Conference.
Right, I think something like that.
That's where we were going to make, we made our official announcement of Ghost World Conference and how it would be there in a year. And Well, anyway, Jeff got up and he was saying how he, you know, in his travels, he'd come across this very wise man. And I think it was some kind of tribal thing. And he said, you know, it was a very good tribal chant. And he said, you know, if you'll all stand up and just humor me. And so everybody in the audience stood up and Jeff said, you know, okay, you just have to repeat after me. He said, Duwa. And everybody went, Duwa. And he said, D-D. And everyone went, D-D. Duwa. Duwa. So it was like, Duwa, diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, do. So yeah, everybody got it. It was really cute. So anyway, you know, you just can't be an author and a ghost hunter anymore. You got to have a shtick here.
Absolutely. It's like, you don't have a show.
Yeah, forget it. Anyway, so we've got show, believe me. We are talking about having reenactors and all kinds of stuff at Ghost World Conference. That's really, you know, I think what summed it up this week when we were talking, I said, you know what, Ghost World Conference is going to be the ghost conference to which others aspire. Not just the standard, it's going to be what you would aspire to.
Absolutely.
The pinnacle, the epitome, the apex. Wow, all this is coming back from like 11th grade English. Scary. Anyway.
God, surprise you remember.
I know.
That's a long
time ago. I know. Anyway, so Ghost World Conference, check it out at ghostworldconference.com. The registration price is $115. However, if you are a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, you can pay $85 as the special secret buddy rate, and that is good until April 30th, 2007. So you have to email me for the private link so I can verify your membership. My email address is Laura, L-A-U-R-A-H, at njghs.net. Okay, so make sure you do that because we're selling out fast, I have to say. It's getting, I mean, almost all the hotel rooms on our block. At last count, we have 120 out of all 140 gone.
Nice.
Yeah, so make your reservations, people, because there's only a few rooms left and at the buddy rate unless we can.
Wow, you won't have to pay for rooms this year.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, you know. So do that and make sure you register for Ghost World Conference because this is the one you don't want to miss. A couple other conferences have gone south, meaning kaput, since.
Good.
in recent history here. And, you know, for those of you who purchased tickets to said failed, you know, not out of the starting gate conferences, do not panic. Just register for Ghost World Conference because you're going to get the best of the best there anyway. You can tell I really have a vested interest in this, but I'm psyched because it's so cool. I mean, we've got neat things. We've got a trade show. We've got the awards. We're going to be putting the dinner, the presenter dinner. And that we still have to, I think, put that on the website because it's an extra charge. But we went over the menu, and we're doing like this Tuscany buffet. Oh, wow.
Nice.
Very nice. And I think it's only going to be like $50 a person. And that covers the dinner, sitting with the presenters, tax, tip, everything.
Why would I want to pay to sit with you?
Not me, but the rest of them.
You're a presenter.
I know. Well, you don't have to sit with me. You and Laura can go and sit with Charlie or, you know. I think what Jeff and Vince and I agreed upon is that we have to stagger it so that between the three of us and the presenters, there's one at each of the tables.
Laura and I will do the exact same thing we did at the last dinner.
Which is?
Drink.
Liquid dinner, yes. And then you couldn't investigate that night because you'd already broken protocol.
Absolutely, and as soon as everyone started investigating, we went down to the bar.
Yeah, and continued. Yep. And I caught up with you down there, and we had a good time that night. We even had that little fan that showed up. Remember that guy came running in? You know what's weird? I was sitting there, and you could see that little hole cut out of the wall where the stairwell is in that Charlie Brown's and the bar. And I saw this guy's head pass by that cutout, and something told me he's coming over here. I mean, and how would you get that from just seeing a head go by? But that's the first thing that went through my head was, he's coming over here. Sure enough, he turns the corner, comes right around. Hey, you're Laura, right? You guys are the New Jersey Ghost Hunters, right? Remember that? And we're like,
oh, yeah.
And we got into this whole conversation. Well, we never heard from him, right?
That's when I left.
Ah. Yeah. We never heard from him, though. He was supposed to get us hooked
Maybe
up with a...
Maybe he wasn't real.
Oh, he was real. Anyway, so stay tuned to that website, and definitely stay tuned to the njghs.net website, and definitely sign up for our Yahoo groups to get the latest and greatest info. And thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And, of course, Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song, which is now named The Dance of the Dead. And thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.